It's Father's Week here on Now I've Heard Everything. Today, my conversation nearly 30 years ago with the daughter of American comedy legend Jack Benny. Now, one day while going through her late father's papers, Joan Benny discovered his unpublished autobiography. Well, she polished it up, added a few thoughts of her own, and in 1990 published it as a book called Sunday Nights at 7.
From Hollywood! The Jack Benny Program!
It's all been said by everybody what made Jack Benny a success. But what made him the enormous success he was? What made him part of everyone's family, part of everyone's life on Sunday nights? You can't. How do you define? I don't know. I can't define that.
The parts, I think, that where he began to give us a little glimpse, began to open the door a little bit, the passage where he talks about the timing, where he said his timing is right for him.
Yes.
That his timing is right, because everyone always comments about Jack Benny was the greatest timing comedian ever, that he had the greatest timing of any.
Your money or your life? Look, Bud, I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
And he says it's his timing, that for a different comedian it would be a different timing.
There was also a remark made by one of his writers that I thought was right on, because my father, unlike the character, you think, okay, he was a comedian, he was not a man who told jokes at home. He didn't tell jokes on the stage either. You never heard Jack Benny say two Irishmen were walking down the street. He never took a pie in the face. But the writer said something I thought was perfect. He said Jack Benny had a wonderful sense of humor. And I think that pinpoints it. It was a sense of what worked, and as you pointed out, for him.
It must be hard for a writer who grew up with the people you grew up with not to sound like, oh, and then we had lunch with so-and-so, and then so-and-so could dropped over, and we talked about matters of the world. And you know, it's hard not to name drop in a book like this, isn't it?
Well, I think people like to hear it. I think the readers are interested in the people who came over to our house. And as I mentioned, I lecture, and I find so much of the audience, I'll get a question afterwards, you know, did you really know Clark Gable? Did you really know Cary Grant? They want to know, because those people were bigger than life. It's an era that's gone, that will never come again. There'll never be another John Wayne or a Gary Cooper. And yes, I knew these people, and I think the audience, whether it's a reading audience or a live audience, they're interested in saying, you know, wow, what was he really like? And the same is true, of course, of my father. So you'll find out in the book what he was really like.
And there's no salacious sex.
No.
There are no drugs.
No.
No alcohol problem.
No.
No addictions, no vices.
No.
Boy, this guy was
doesn't
dull.
Doesn't it sound boring? It's what took me so long to write it. I thought, who's going to buy a book about a nice guy? But I've heard from a lot of people that say, you know, it's refreshing. And I thought, well, maybe it is. Maybe people have had enough of salacious, and maybe it's nice to read about a really nice person.
It's an anomaly. How can you be nice in Hollywood?
It never went to his head. And I'm not sure that I mean that as a compliment. I mean, of course it's complimentary. But I don't mean it. I mean it because the man went through life with blinders. He was so focused on his career, but he wasn't ambitious career-wise. He was focused on making the next show the best it could possibly be. He was focused on the writing, on the editing, on every aspect of that show. He didn't have time to be a star. He didn't have time to worry about the accoutrement of stardom. That didn't interest him.
People seem to think that your father was stingy. They knew he wasn't really 39, but they worried about that somewhere in the back of their mind. And the public had trouble distinguishing his stage persona from his real life.
The persona was generally a very nice man, and in person what you saw was what you got. Some of the show was confusing to the listener because there were things that were true and things that weren't true, and no particular reason for it. I mean, there's no reason why you would distinguish one from another. The cheap thing I will get rid of right now, he was a very generous man in real life, nothing like that. But there were things on the show, for instance, I mean, we're going back now to the radio days. My mother came from Plainfield, New Jersey. No, she didn't. Her name was Mary Livingston. No, it was originally Sadie Marks. Mary Livingston worked at the May Company. True.
You know, when I found Mary, she was selling hosiery in the May Company. And I took her out and married her. And, you know, once you take something out of the May Company, you can't bring it back. You know?
Mary had a sister named Babe. True. So there's no reason to know that one was true and one wasn't.
How do you account for the fact that at one point in you ticked off four or five couples who stayed together? There was not a divorce among them. What did they have that nobody else in show business has?
Well, I think, again, it was of its time. I think things were quite different back then. I think that success went to their heads far less than today. But I think television is very responsible for the more difficulties today. I mean, so many actors, Freddie Prinze is the most obvious example of someone who had instant fame and couldn't deal with it. My father, George Burns, Gary Cooper, John Wayne, you name all of those people, they paid their dues. They had bit parts. They worked their way up slowly. The fame really didn't go to their heads because, as I said, they'd paid their dues. Rather recently, I went to a restaurant. This is the unusual part of when you say, well, what's it like to be a celebrity's daughter? I went to a restaurant. I'm sitting with a friend against the wall, and on the wall are blow-up pictures of Hollywood scenes. And I really didn't look at them. I was more interested in my conversation with my friend. But I kind of noticed there was Douglas Fairbanks in one of them, and I didn't pay attention. Now we're talking, and the waiter comes over with the menus, and we're talking. And all of a sudden, I kind of glanced to the side, and in that moment of talk about a double take, I looked and I thought, that's my pool. That's my backyard. That's my father. Right next to our table in a big blow-up is my father in a little rowboat that said Joni. I mean, there's my name. I don't remember the boat, by the way. This was what I must have been very little. My father's sitting in the rowboat, and it's in our backyard. That hit me as the celebrity's daughter, where here I am having lunch with my best girlfriend, and I look, there's my house, my backyard, my father, a boat that has my name. It's weird. That's all I can tell you. It's weird, and I don't know even what to make of it.
And for those of us who remember Jack Benny, it's hard to believe it's been 45 years since he passed away at the age of 80. 39. I'm Bill Thompson, and now I've heard everything.